I'm going to teach just a little bit on something that everybody's got. And being you've got it, we need to use it. We need more of it. And I think the Lord has been dealing with me about a scripture that we've read thousands of times. And I think we're going to identify something. And I apologize for all the scriptures. I try not to get too many, but I got a whole list of them. And if we don't finish, I guess we might finish next week. I don't know if you allow me to. But anyway, we're going to teach on faith. And I know we've heard it taught on hundreds of times, but I want to encourage us to work on our faith. If you'd like to stand, I'll read one scripture and then be seated. From the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting with the first verse. And I will say, just prior to the 12th chapter, obviously, is the 11th chapter, which is called the faith chapter. If you read it, there's a whole a group of people that are listed that were great people of faith. It even says, due to faith, that the walls of Jericho came down. You read that whole thing. It's all about faith and how they persevered on faith alone. Amen. To see what God had for them. And we have to understand the Bible was written. It wasn't divided in chapters and verses and all that until it was translated into the King James versions, and they begin to divide it up, which is fine. There's no problem. But the 12th chapter starts out with this word, wherefore. That simply means I'm still talking about this 11th chapter. Paul writing to the Hebrew. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that which doth so easily beset us. That word beset means to ensnare. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the pioneer and he is the perfecter. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, which is a phrase that simply means a symbol of all power. For consider him that endured such contradiction. And that word means hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds or lose heart. You can see how he's trying to encourage us. And if you go back to the 11th chapter, and Paul, he talks about all of these that were tortured and sawn asunder and sewed up in skins and beaten and all this sort of stuff. They went through some terrible stuff, y'all. And Christ himself endured the hostility of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. But I want to talk to us a little bit about faith. And we're going to come back to that first scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 and talk at the end of this lesson about the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. This great cloud of witnesses, is, as we said just now, is composed of all the people described in chapter 11. And I tell you, reading this, their faithfulness is a constant reminder to be an encouragement to us. And I'll tell you, we don't struggle alone, and we're not the first one to face struggles with all the problems that we face. I'll tell you, we talk about having a great heritage. And I've been guilty of talking about my heritage, you know, and my mind just kind of goes back to the first one that I can think of, which would be my great-great-grandmother received the Holy Ghost back in the early 1900s. But I'm telling you, what Paul wrote to the Hebrews, that's your heritage too. That's my heritage, the things that they endured and stood on faith. facing hardships and discouragement, it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. It's easy to want to throw in the towel. But I'm telling you, we have to exercise our faith. I'm telling you, you're not alone in this walk. There is help, and it's called faith. And our suffering and our tribulations that we go through and things that we deal with day to day, I'm telling you, it is a training ground for your Christian maturity. That's all it is. Well, you say, well, Steve, you just don't understand what I'm going through. I'm telling you, he endured the cross. He endured what they dealt out to him because of the joy that was waiting on the other side. And we're no different. Amen. It is a training ground for our Christian maturity. I tell you, it develops our patience. And you know how it is. Once you go through things like that, when you have victory, boy, it just makes it that much sweeter. Amen. It will make a sweet victory for you. And we need to be able to withstand every onslaught of the enemy by faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then he said unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses must come. But woe unto him through whom they come. So it tells us right there, we're going to have things that we're going to face. Verse 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend or cause to sin one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. How many of us, seven times, the same person offends you and does something to you, at the end of the day, when the seventh time has occurred, you say, I forgive you. That's tough. But they said, increase our faith. If you have faith like we should have, you'll be able to do it. I refer back to the scripture we just read. He endured the cross, the hostility of the sinners, because of the joy that was waiting on the other side. By faith, you can do that very thing. Amen. And to rebuke someone in that scripture means to just bring a person's attention to the sin that they might be committing with a purpose of restoring them. Not to just rebuke them and chew them out. But that word rebuke means to bring to their attention what they've done to restore them. But I need to remind us, when you feel like you need to rebuke someone for a sin, check your attitude before you speak. Don't wind up saying the wrong thing to them. Amen. Do you love them? Are you willing to forgive? I'm telling you, unless rebuke is tied in with forgiveness, it's not going to help the sinning person, and it's not going to help you or me. We have to have forgiveness with our faith. I tell you, faith is such an important part of our spiritual DNA that it has to operate in our being. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And just like being physically born into a family, and you become part of your parents' family, being reborn makes you spiritually alive and puts you in God's family. But we have to believe. You can interchange that word with faith. It is belief. And I tell you, the power to become the sons of God is anchored in our faith. Amen. In our relationship with God, it just mandates. It mandates that we have faith. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. chapter 11 in Hebrews that we referred to talked about Enoch. And it said, Enoch by faith had this testimony that he pleased God. Why? Because he had faith. Without it, you cannot please God. And there are some things you get from God when you walk in faith. And the disciples knew they needed faith and needed more of it every day. It's like just like natural food. You need spiritual food if you're going to survive. I know we can go days without natural food, and we do it when we fast. But I'm telling you, we need spiritual food, and we need it every day. Romans chapter 10. We're talking about faith. How does it grow? How do we do it? Chapter 10, verse 17 of Romans. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm here to tell you today, y'all, you have faith. We just got to learn to exercise it. And we got to learn to do what it takes to increase it. Amen. And our salvation, when we first came to Christ, everybody in this room, our salvation depended upon us having faith. If you didn't have faith in God, you wouldn't even make a move to try to create a relationship with him. Amen. But it required us having faith to believe that Jesus had remitted our sins through his shed blood on Calvary. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You exercise your faith for your salvation. I'm telling you, the faith that you were given, it was enacted when you got your salvation. Amen. And the church has a mandate to walk in greater faith than ever before if we're to see this world saved. And I tell you, our faith is being attacked on every level. And when it does, I know it can become diminished and sort of render us helpless and without peace. And I'm telling you, if this world ain't in a mess, I ain't a standing behind this desk. The things that are going on today, the recent killing of the children, there's a lot of things that I've done and I've seen, and I guess I've worked in one of the professions that a lot of people don't care about. I helped a friend of mine in the funeral business, and bombing people and picking people up and doing things. I've seen some bad stuff, but I'm telling you, to see those children lying on the sidewalk gasping for breath, that's been gassed by a hateful man or hateful people. I'm telling you, this world's in a fix. And we don't need to fix our eyes on that. We need to fix our eyes on faith in Jesus Christ, the joy that is set before us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm telling you, the grace of God that we walk in today is simply accessed by our faith in God. Amen. Our faith first helps us realize we're delivered from our past by Christ's death. Our hope grows as we learn that God has a lot of stuff in mind for us to do. And then God's love begins to fill our lives and give us the ability to reach out to others. That is our faith, hope, and our love. Our faith, hope, and charity. Amen. So what else do we need to do to exercise our faith? One thing we need to do, we need to speak the word in faith. It's one thing to say, I have faith. But it's another thing to confess it and to speak the word in faith. And I'm telling you, I've prayed about some stuff that I'm telling you, there ain't no hope. From our standpoint and our view, and even from the medical standpoint a lot of times, there's no hope. You know, there's been people in the medical field come out and tell a family, there's nothing else we can do. It's just a matter of time. But I'm telling you, sometimes we pray and the inevitable happens and people face death in families and stuff like that. That doesn't diminish the fact that we can have faith and increase our faith and exercise our faith in God. Everything is done according to His will. I've seen things happen and wondered, why God? Why is this going on? And then a little bit later down the road, you see something happen because of that, that furthered the kingdom of God. Amen. So we need to speak the word in faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. How did it say faith come? How's it hearing? By the word of the Lord, by the preached word. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And here's the problem sometimes we have with faith, and it's simply confessing it, speaking it with our mouth. And we speak in faith when we confess our sins and believe God for salvation. We don't need to stop speaking in faith after salvation. You understand what I'm trying to tell us? When you got on your knees, you had to believe in God. You had to exercise your faith to be saved. Don't let it stop there. Take your experience and what you know and what you've learned and what you've studied in God's word and continue to speak the word in faith. Amen. The word is ready to go into operation if you speak it in faith. I'm telling you, the word never changes. Amen. The prodigal son said when he got down to to the rock bottom, he said, I will arise and go back to my father's house. I'll only ask to be a servant. Little did he know that he was going to be restored to his proper place as a son. And I'm telling you, he reached the low of low. The Bible talks about he was in the hog pen feeding the hogs. And the Bible says, and he feigned to fill his belly with the husk. And if you read about those husks, it was a husk that came off the carob tree that was about like rice bran today. It's a filler. There wasn't much nutritional value in it. And I read that scripture and I got to thinking. I said, well, why didn't he just reach over and pick up one and eat it? It was such a low estate that he was in feeding hogs. He had to ask permission to eat of the husk. That's why it said he feigned to fill his belly with the husk, because he would have to ask to eat what the hogs were eating. Buddy, that's low. But I'm telling you, when you come to your senses and you say, I will arise and go back to my father's house, you are exercising your faith, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I make it back, if I'm nothing but a servant from now on out, it's better than what I've got. Let's exercise our faith. Amen. John chapter 1, verse 1, a very familiar scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm telling you, folks, the Word never changes. There's one scripture that says, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. If God changes not, the Word changes not. Because one and one just said He is the Word. Amen. So I encourage us today to speak up. When we face, I know sometimes we might be a little hesitant in public, you know, when we're talking to people and listening to them and letting them vent just a little bit and tell us, you know, sometimes we might be a little bit hesitant to say, well, I tell you what, I'm going to have faith that God's going to touch you or going to do something about that situation. And you don't have to make a scene. I'll tell you, I've prayed for people before in the middle of the store, but it was just me and them. It wasn't a loud, boisterous thing. It was just me and them. I'm telling you, God honors faith. It's not the volume of the prayer, it's the sincerity of the prayer. And it's honoring faith. So I encourage us today to speak up. Listen to this story about speaking the word and faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 13 and 14. Then we'll drop down to verse 20. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And when you read that, you have to understand that I've got a fig tree now. It's got little figs on it, probably about that big around. What he's saying here is that figs were overdue. It's simply saying the time of the figs was not yet. In other words, the leaves were there, the trees there, it's thriving, but there were no figs simply because it was time to have them, but something about the tree didn't have figs on it. They were overdue. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. The fig tree over in Israel in the time of Christ, it was a staple in their diet. And there were two times of figs on a tree. One was in the spring, one was in the early fall. And the one in the spring is when all the leaves were on the tree. And there should have been figs. The Bible brings out, I don't remember just which gospel it is, might have been Mark, about he was walking in the area of Bethany and Bethphage. And those two cities, one was known as a city of dates, the other was known as a city of figs. And when Christ went to that thing, he put his hand in there fully expecting to see figs, but he didn't. Drop down to verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Dead. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. I'm telling you this morning, your sins are dependent upon your forgiveness. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I'm telling you, our forgiveness depends and is a prerequisite for walking in faith. No forgiveness, no faith. Amen. Christ fully expected to reach in there and get figs, and he didn't. If you're going to put on leaves, if you're going to be a Christian or present yourself as a model Christian, there has to be fruit. There has to be something there. I'm telling you, we're known by the fruit we bear. That's a scripture in the Word. So I'm telling you, if there's nothing there and we're not exercising our faith and we're not forgiving like we're supposed to, not walking in faith, I'm telling you, we can be cursed from the roots up. So no forgiveness, no faith. So I ask you today, what do you need the Lord to do for you today? We all have needs. Every one of us could lift our hand and express a need that we have. So we need to confess the word over it, but we need to do it with a clean, forgiving heart. Amen. And we need to watch our faith work according to his will. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I tell you, God commanded us not to worry. And only our faith, and our faith alone, can deliver us from our worry and anxiety. I'm telling you, folks, worry is pointless. And I purposed a long time ago, try not to even use that word as I am conversing. I'm telling you, it cannot fill any of your needs if you worry. And worrying is just foolish, because God is the one that loves us and knows what we need. And that word worry in the original text, if you read it and study it, it came from a word that means to strangle. And how many have ever heard the phrase, you're going to worry yourself to death? You're going to strangle yourself to death worrying about things. Amen. I tell you, it's just as easy to exercise our faith. Have faith in God. And whatever happens, the Lord knows all about it. I tell you, the disciples just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, and what a wonderful miracle that must have been. And so they're going to cross over the Sea of Galilee, and they cross over and get in a storm. And you know the story about how upset and how they were facing this raging storm. It's like they just forgot what happened just a little while ago. If he can break bread and fish like he did and feed 5,000 and gather up baskets full of stuff, don't you think it can calm a storm? But Jesus showed up. Peter gets out of the boat, got his eyes on the Lord. First thing you know, his eyes get on the storm. And he starts crying out for the Lord. He got his eyes off Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, don't let your current situation define your faith. Don't let what you're going through say, okay, well, I don't have much faith. I guess I'm just going to tough it out and work. No, don't do that. Don't let your situation define your faith. And I thought about the little humorous story about the little boy at the baseball game. His daddy showed up a little bit late. He said, well, how's it going, boy? And he said, well, we're behind 35 to nothing. He said, man, he said, don't worry, Dad. So we ain't batted yet. We need that kind of faith. Amen. You know, you've all heard the old thing, behind the eight ball. If anybody knows anything about playing pool, what that means. Sometimes we get behind the eight ball, but we ain't batted yet. Amen. We need to exercise our faith. Amen. Have faith. Matthew chapter 14, verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And I don't know. The Bible doesn't record if he reminded them of the miracle that they just saw, feeding of the 5,000. But he simply said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Although we start out with a lot of good intentions in what we're doing, sometimes our faith does falter. That doesn't mean you failed. That doesn't mean you need to throw in the towel. I tell you, when Peter's faith faltered, he cried out and reached out to Christ, and we have to do the same thing. I'm telling you, sometimes my faith gets kind of weak. And I had prayer for my son-in-law's mother. He got a call and went to check on what she thought was a cold. And long story short, after it's all said and done, diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And now has pneumonia. And trying to, I'm telling you, folks, boy, you talk about make your faith falter. It just don't look good. But I know that he can raise her up. Amen. Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 7. This is about the centurion's servant that he desired to see healed. And if you read prior to the 7th verse, you'll notice the centurion didn't go to Christ. He sent his friends. Listen to this. Wherefore? Then these are the friends talking to Christ, delivering the message. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. Unto another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Can you imagine the creator of this whole wide world and all things marveling at anything? But the Bible says he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. The centurion exercised such faith. He told his friends. He said, y'all go give him this message. He had all confidence that his servant was going to be healed. And I think about the story of the stretcher bearers. And I'm telling you, sometimes when we do get a little weak in faith and we need a little help, we need to couple ourselves with people of faith. Amen. Others can have faith for you and with you. Luke chapter 5, verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And you know the story how, they said, well, how can a man forgive sins? And he knew their heart. He knew their heart and their mind, and he went ahead and healed the man. And it wasn't the sick man's faith that impressed Jesus, but the faith of his friends. And Jesus responded to that faith, and he healed that man. I'm telling you, folks, for better or for worse, our faith will attract others. If you have faith and you encounter somebody that needs a little help, needs a little boost, they will be attracted to you. And that's what I love about this church. I think this church is doing possibly all it can do to attract people to come into this soul-saving this salvation at this soul-saving station. And we're fixing to embark on a venture here pretty quick. And I passed by today, and man, there's trees down. It's looking good. But I'm telling you, we need to keep on like we're doing. We need to have faith. We need to keep going. Amen. People will be attracted to you by your faith. And we can do a lot through our words, our actions, our love, and our faith. So we need to seize every opportunity we get to help somebody. So where should your faith stand? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I made reference to the things going on in the world, and I'm telling you, sometimes I think we need to just cut it off. Cut the media off, get the Bible out, and begin to read about and remind ourselves of the promises of God. I'm telling you, if it ain't over here, it's over there. We're sending ships over here and ships over there. It's not in the power of men, folks. Amen. But in the power of God. Not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm telling you, you talk about making them forget about their weapons and what's going on. You let the Lord turn the ground to jelly and split it wide open and start swallowing whole cities at a time. You let a lightning bolt come down and just destroy an army. I'm telling you, my God's got power. Amen. And he can do it. We need to mix the word of God with our faith. I'm telling you, we need to get into the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I'm telling you, you can hear something and not be listening. You know, I've had my kid, and my dad did the same thing to me. He said, "You hear me?" I said, "Well, Dad, I heard you, but I wasn't listening." There's a big difference between hearing and listening. So we need to listen. So watch what happens when the word and faith are together. John chapter 11, verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. I'm not truly convinced when Lazarus heard his name, he had to make a decision to get up and walk out of that tomb. You ever thought about him taking stock of his situation and bound up with grave clothes and in a tomb? And I know they rolled the stone away, but you ever thought about a decision he had to make to get up and walk out? I'm telling you, he come out of there by faith, I believe. And you have to read about Lazarus a little bit later on. The scripture even bears out the fact that Lazarus became such a witness for Christ, they sought to kill him. That's what the scripture says. They sought to kill him because, boy, he was spreading the good news everywhere he went. You talk about build your faith. To tell somebody, you know, you hear people, "Well, I was crippled and he healed me. I was lame, he healed me." Hey, let me tell you what he did for me. I was dead as a mackerel laying in a grave, and he brought me out. Called my name. Your faith can be a great witness. You cannot worship God, though, and walk in faith with your grave clothes on. I'm telling you, folks, we've been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light, but we have to be turned loose. Amen. We have to exercise our faith. And I'm telling you, I believe there's another dimension of deliverance and another level of faith when the grave clothes come off, because the scripture says, "He who hath the Son is set free is free indeed." Amen. I got to hurry. And I want to close with just a few final but encouraging scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He's faithful. I got to be faithful. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I tell you, there's a joy on the other side if you just hold on by faith. Amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? I tell you, God himself puts a lot of stock in having faith. Amen. We got to have faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. He was quoting from Habakkuk 2 and 4. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Simply means that to go against a godly conviction or something that an unction you get from the Holy Ghost, if you go against that, it's going to leave you with a guilty or an uneasy conscience and may cause you to sin. And when God shows us something is wrong for us, we should avoid it and keep walking by faith. And I read you the scripture a while ago, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. I just read you the scripture in Romans. That is, whatever soever is without faith is sin. I'm telling you, I've made my mind up. And I invite my pastor to straighten me out in front of this whole congregation. The sin that doth so easily beset us is our unbelief and our lack of faith. That's why we need to exercise it. That's why we need to speak the word in faith. Pray in faith. See those things that are not as though they were. I thought about that a whole lot before I even started doing this lesson. When it calls it the sin, it pinpoints it to me. It does. And I got to thinking, I said, Lord, well, what is the sin? The one thing that might beset me may not beset my neighbor. But I'm telling you, the sin that will beset every one of us is our lack of faith and our unbelief. And I encourage us all, I don't care what the situation is, I don't care what we're facing, if we have to come and pray, get prayed for time after time after time, keep exercising your faith. Keep believing in God. I don't want that thing. When he comes back, I want him to find faith in me. Amen. I want to be found faithful. So let's exercise our faith. God bless you this morning. I love you. I hope we said something that would encourage us to keep on keeping on. Amen. God bless you. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back for our morning worship.